So Asgardia is the first in the world history space nation. The key difference from any earthly nation is that Asgardia does not have territory on Earth. There are no laws which stipulate that citizens are obliged to reside in the country of their citizenship. Population of Asgardia is anybody on Earth who shares the vision and the inspiration and registers themselves for joining Asgardia. But we all know that this is a natural cycle. First people say you're crazy, then people say, okay, we knew that, and then people start claiming that we were the first to support this.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high-quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Li stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a really fun interview. I'm going to be talking to Lena DeWitt from Asgardia. Asgardia is the first space nation that they are working on forming. And she's been involved in the European Space Agency, and she was born in Moscow. And this nation that they're building has a lot of top-level scientists and people working on it. And I first learned, they just started about 3 years ago, and I first learned about it 2 years ago, and I've been watching it, and I've been trying to get a hold of people, and they reached back to me and wanted to do an interview. And so it's with everything that's going on in our country, and everybody knows what, you know, I've been covering, this is just a nice escape and to learn about what some citizens around the world citizens are doing. They're actually Asgardians, they call themselves, and they're serious about creating this nation called Asgardia. And she's going to talk all about it, what it's about. You could join it too if you wanted to, and you could become part of parliament and run for that. There's lots of things that people can get involved in, and what their goal is for this new nation. It's really interesting. It's going to be an audio only interview, but I'll have pictures from Asgardia. They have a lot of future renderings. They have a ton of things that they show people that's very artistic and very visual. So people who are listening to this on just audio on podcast, feel free to go to my website at sarahwestall.com and watch it in video form, and you'll see all sorts of pictures that they have. But you can also go to their website and find Asgardia. I'll have the links below and see all of this as well. You'll be able to go and see their constitution. You'll be able to go see how they have planning their economy, how they set up their parliament, how they're working with different nations around the world. I am going to interview various people from Asgardia to learn all about the different aspects of this space nation that they're creating. And it'll be a little series that I'm doing that is such a nice distraction and welcome different concept for people to take a break from all the hard news that I'm covering. And it's so meaningful. It in the sense that it really could be one of the things that changes our world. And I'd like to stay on top of this and understand what it's about. Really want to understand what this is about. And the fact that they're giving me access and wanting to interview me is, or wanting me to interview them, is just fantastic because I want to understand it. So before I get into that, I want to remind you that I have special coupons for my patrons that they can save money on the C60 and on Tetragen and all sorts of products. And so you can go there, you can get free ebooks, exclusive interviews. And I want to thank you so much for being a patron. It's really creating a great safety net for me, meaning because I don't know necessarily trust, well, nobody can trust the monetization of YouTube. I can't trust having anything stable at this point. So I'm just so thankful for that, the people who support that. And I want to let you know, I had 9 videos removed by YouTube. They're all with doctors. They're all with experts, not necessarily medical doctors, but experts, doctors in different fields. And there 9 of them have been deleted recently. And I, you know, when they start deleting people who are experts in their fields, very, very highly respected, it becomes pretty scary. So nobody's safe. And so I just, I'm just so thankful for everybody that supports this program. And I want to let you know, we're going to be talking to Lena Devitt. She is the head of communications and the director of administration for Asgardia. So this will be a great interview. So let's get into my interview now with Lena Devitt. Hi, Lena. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You have the most fascinating project on the planet that you're working on, and I've been wanting to talk to somebody from your organization, Asgardia, for a long time. Can you please tell the audience and the listeners what Asgardia is?
Okay, first of all, I apologize, but I have to correct you. We do not call Asgardia a project because Asgardia is a nation, and nobody would ever call any nation in the world a project.
That's very true.
Yeah, so nation, by definition, is a unity of people, and something brought them together. So if you look at Asgardia, and if you look at other nations, you will find that nations historically are those which unite people who were born in the same place, or speak the same language, or have the same ethnical origin. But Asgardia is the first in the world history nation which is brought together by the vision, by the ideology, by the thinking, and by the intention. So Asgardia is the first in the world history space nation. The key difference from any earthly nation is that Asgardia does not have territory on Earth. But there is no law, apart from law of gravity, which holds a surface of a country to the surface of the planet Earth. That's why, and this is the only reason, why nobody has actually ever formed country in space. You might ask how you live there, but there are no laws which stipulate that citizens are obliged to reside in the country of their citizenship. There are no laws which stipulate that the country must be big enough to host its entire population at any given moment. Hence, Asgardia has a satellite. It's a small satellite, it's a 2U size, 2 cubic decimeters loaf of bread satellite, which orbits the Earth in low Earth orbit. It's about 500 kilometers above the Earth's surface. And the satellite itself is the territory. I want to be very clear here because people at this point who are in the subject start quoting out a space treaty from 1967 saying that nobody can claim any celestial objects or orbits. And that is fully correct. We are not claiming any orbits. We are using it like anybody else who wants to fly in a low Earth orbit. So Asgardia 1 satellite is the territory. Population of Asgardia is anybody on Earth who shares the vision and the inspiration and registers themselves for joining Asgardia. To do that, you simply go to asgardia.space and register yourself as an Asgardian, provide information about yourself, subscribe to our details.
Would we become a citizen then of Asgardia?
You become an Asgardian. When it comes to definition, like in any country, you can have different level of presence. Not everybody who is a citizen is a resident or a visitor in the country. So if you just subscribe, you become an Asgardian. This has all plenty of access rights, opportunity to participate in community affairs, but this does not yet make you a citizen. The citizenship itself, as a definition, we're taking it extremely seriously. Citizenship will be granted once our passports start making political sense, because passport is an instrument with which you can travel. We're working towards recognition by the United Nations. And in order to achieve that, we are holding bilateral negotiations with some countries on Earth, because that's the way to go. There is no actually organization authority on Earth which gives somebody a title of a state. It just happens as a fact of life. Countries recognize each other. So that's the path we are going. We are at the moment in consultations with some countries how we can follow this path. Ultimately, that leads to joining eventually United Nations. When you get recognition, by mutual recognition with other countries, part of that recognition is having passports and entitling citizens to cross each other's borders. So full citizenship will be issued and granted when we have this operational opportunity in place. That will be a bit later, of course. This is a very complex and very comprehensive process. In the meantime, we have a category of residents. So to be a resident, in order to become a citizen, you need to become a resident anyway. So now, to be a resident, you, by becoming Asgardian, also apply further for residency, and you gain it by paying 100 euros for 1 year activity. And by doing so, you gain many more rights. For example, you can provide business proposal, get into partnership with Asgardia with your business. You can put yourself forward for elections in Asgardian parliament for becoming your local representative of Asgardia. You then can participate in Asgardian elections. So you then gain all the rights, which eventually will become rights of only citizens.
Oh, that's just fascinating. Okay, now, when I was reading about Asgardia, there are some very wealthy and very connected people that are involved. And you, as well, have a pretty impressive background. Can you tell us what your background is and then also share some of the leading characters or people involved with Asgardia?
Well, I personally was born in Moscow in the Soviet times, but I moved to the West in early 90s. So I'm actually a Dutch citizen, and I worked for 15 years for European Space Agency. And basically all my grown up life and all my professional career, I was in the space business from the European side. I also have done some television work. I have written some books and articles, but ultimately everything I do one way or another was related to human space flight. And that's how I got to work for Dr. Ashur Beli, the founder of Asgardia, who at the time was starting Room Magazine. Room Magazine is the only in the world publication which doesn't represent anybody's interests. All the space publications are either representing major organizations or they are kind of lobbying for the interests. They are having political connotation. Room is the only magazine, and it's now the magazine of Asgardia, which gives platform, and Room is like room for discussion, space for discussion, it's play upon words. It brings together everything related to space in a cross-disciplinary manner. Because, you know, in scientific world, chemists talk to chemists, physicists talk to physicists, economists talk to economists, psychologists talk to psychologists. Room is the magazine where everybody who does something for space is publishing. They're all experts, and they're experts who might have a different school of thought, different background, different opinions. So we actually encourage the debate and exchange of opinions. And we are the only of a kind. We distribute profoundly business to business, and we are in retail in North America. So the same as Asgardia, it brings together interdisciplinary interaction between people from all walks of life. So that was a longer answer how I ended up working for Dr. Ashur Beli some years back. He was launching Room Magazine, and it was headquartered in Europe, and I've been living in Europe for many, many years. And eventually, when Dr. Ashur Beli was putting together the core team to work on Asgardia, I was invited to join that core team. So I was working for that organization already prior to the official launch event. The official launch event then took place on the 12th of October 2016.
How do you plan with Asgardia? How do you plan on keeping some of the incredible challenges we have here on Earth from creeping into Asgardia so you can start from fresh and have a peaceful, respectful environment where certain people aren't abused and taken advantage of?
Well, if you look, it's on our homepage, of course, there is a constitution of Asgardia. So like any state, we have any nation, we have attributes which are representing the nation. So like we discussed, there is territory, there is population, there is also a set of national symbols, national anthem, the coat of arms and the flag, and there is a constitution. This constitution was voted by the population in the year when the constitution was debated, and the intra point of constitution, or you can also say it's an independent standalone document, it's a declaration of unity. One of the core principles stipulated in the declaration of unity is an leaving behind all the Earth's history. It sounds sometimes a bit challenging, and I'll explain what is behind it. It was a big debate also how to formulate it to make sure that the idea is well received. It's not just giving up. People are saying, I don't want to give up my heritage and my culture. It's not about giving up. It's about staying away from the prejudice which comes with legacy. It's about starting from scratch by uniting as humans who are prejudice-free. So we, like Dr. Shurbeli says, our founder and head of Nation, when they ask him, what do you know about Asgardians? He says, the only thing I know is that these are people who have a gadget and internet access, because Asgardia is a digital state. Therefore, it has to be a person who can get online and subscribe on our website. But for the rest, there is absolutely no discussion about anything else to do with who are Asgardians. These are people who share in the core vision and inspiration. They can be of any race, of any age, of any gender, of any orientation, of any status, of any financial standing. So in that sense, by combining these two aspects, total leaving behind any prejudice and inviting anybody who is inspired by the destination, by doing this, we're leaving behind the legacy of pain and mistrust and you name it.
Yeah, all the issues that we're seeing play out today. Now, who or what kind of acceptance are you getting? Are you having people around the world and nations around the world, are they receptive to this, or are they, is there a lot of pushback?
Like Dr. Shurbeli said in his opening speech on the 12th of October 2016, he expects to be called crazy, and it would not have been the first time in his life. But we all know that this is a natural cycle. First, people say you're crazy, then people say, okay, we knew that, and then people start claiming that we were the first to support this. We're at a stage where people say we knew that, and I'm very proud of it. It's been only a little over 3 years. So if you look how far we've gone in 3 years, it's actually, I'm surprised myself how far we've gone, because certainly there have been, you are crazy, response to begin with. So of course, any bureaucracy pushes, of course, any conservative way of looking at life will push you back. We're realistic about it. It's normal. When you push the boundaries bounce. It's normal. And we are ready for this and we embrace it, because it means that we are evolving in a natural process. It means that life is fluent and life is dynamic, and it means that we cause response.
What do you predict will happen? I mean, when do you predict that you will have an actual living organization or society, community in space?
Well, we have to talk about space in a little bit different terms. Mass relocation to space as soon as possible is not a goal. To relocate to space, one needs to build enormous life support system and enormous infrastructure, because you look like in the International Space Station, it can host up to 6 people at a time. And this is the investment of billions. So to live permanently, you need to create principally different conditions. But the question is not just to keep moving people to space. The question is how to make it sustainable. And here we look at the other. We spoke already about political goal to become member of United Nations as the first space nation. The technical goal of Asgardia is to achieve birth of the first human child in space. Why is that? Look at masterminds of cosmology. Look at Stephen Hawking. He is known to have said that species which are bound to one planet are also going to be extinct. Look at Tsiolkovsky, who at the beginning of the 20th century said that Earth is the cradle, but nobody can stay in the cradle forever. This is becoming reality. So, and at the same time, if we look at pure science, it is known that there are risks of destruction of Earth. There are sources of cosmic disasters which are not under our control. Yes, we cause ourselves enough damage and we create a lot of space junk and that can hit us as well. But there are also sources external to us and we don't yet have machinery to control it. There can be meteorites, asteroids, solar flares. There can be disturbance in magnetic field protection. If you look at Earth from space, any cosmonaut will astronaut will tell you that the biggest sensation is that how fragile is the atmosphere, how vulnerable the planet is. If the planet were the size of a ball, football ball, then proportionally the thickness of the atmosphere will be as thin as a piece of paper, as a human hair. So it's actually very vulnerable and very fragile. So there are lots and lots of threats, which hopefully not too soon, but potentially can make planet Earth unlivable. And if you talk billions of years, it's also in our science forecast that the crown of the sun will expand to the extent that also the temperatures will become unlivable. But okay, that's billions of years away. So basically, we need to make sure that humanity as biological species can fully self-sustain in space, survive in space. In order to survive in space, biological species need to reproduce in space. Hence, the technical vision, technical goal of Asgardia is to achieve birth of the first human child in space. Once that happened, once the child is born, the child is healthy, the parents are healthy, then we can talk about independence of human race as biological species from planet Earth. And then we are living in a different world. And then ultimately, the possibility to travel between Earth and space stations, we call them space arcs. This is inspired by Noah's Ark, because that's the way to move forward, to survive. So the possibility for those born in space to travel to Earth and for those born on Earth to travel to space and stay there for a long time, that's a totally different ballgame. In order to achieve that, it's necessary to make conditions livable. What is one basic condition which is affecting all of us on Earth? It's gravity force. Now in the International Space Station, there is no gravity. It's good for research because they conduct research in microgravity and it gives plenty of information, because when you have gravity or you don't and you do the same process, you can see the difference and that's wealth of information. But for long-term living, you need to provide gravity and you also need to provide radiation protection. On Earth, we are protected by magnetic field of Earth. So these two areas of research are core areas where Asgardia is active. And to that purpose, we held a conference last October in Darmstadt, where scientists who are prominent in these areas came to talk about radiation protection and all the aspects connected to artificial gravity and to other biological effects of reproduction in space. And also coming back to your question about prominent figures in our organization, Professor Dr. Floris Wouts, he is a professor in Antwerp University in Belgium. He is one of the world leading scientists in neurophysiological research in space. He is our head scientist in Asgardia.
That's just incredible. Okay, there is a lot of evidence to show that we have had major catastrophes on Earth multiple times, where the Earth has been pretty much wiped out and some species have survived. We've maybe survived under the ground in tunnels and things. I would assume as scientists, you have cataclysms is the right word. You have that information as well. So is and it looks like we're due for another one in not that near far of a future. Is that something that you that's on top of your mind and scientists talk about?
We are not specifically addressing forecast of disasters. We are dealing with what I have already described, proactive strategies, how to make sure humanity is safe and survives as a biological species.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that that might give you urgency. Go ahead.
We're aware of what the others are doing in that domain, but we're not developing special expertise in that domain. Our development is really focused around resettling in space, as in the location where humans can reproduce, and nation building, so all the buildup of relationships on Earth. And also talking about personalities, Lambert Opick, who is our chair of parliament. He is a former British politician, former chair of of Welsh Laborist and British Member of Parliament. He's an Asgardia, the chair of Asgardian Parliament.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people believe that it could happen. You know, a lot of scientists are saying that it could happen in our near future. I was just wondering if more people are interested in what you're doing because they're concerned about that.
Well, for sure, when we talked to the scientific community and we initiated this it was called Asgardia Science Investment Congress, and it was dedicated to the scientific advancement in the possibility of settling in space, and effectively that means rescuing humanity, we had a very good response, and people were happy that this will become an every 2 year conference where all the most advanced technologies can be presented in a cross-disciplinary setting.
Well, when they're displaying the advanced technologies, are you seeing technologies that the average person is not aware of? I mean, is there really amazingly advanced technologies, or is it pretty much what the scientists are creating that is you can find, you know, at these large corporations? Is it what I'm trying to say is these patents that have been developed but they don't want to come out, or are these new inventions by scientists that are trying to get their information out there?
Sarah, I'm afraid that my answer will be boring and disappointing because it's not quite how it works. There is fundamental science and there is applied science. So fundamental science is, well, Newton's laws are fundamental science, yeah? So the way fundamental science it's funded by public money, so it's run mostly by universities, because the moment the results are available, the funded scientists are obliged to publish their results for common knowledge because they've been funded by public money to achieve their research results. So like Professor Wouts, who is our lead scientist, he is one of those people who works for the university. He is one of the top in his profession worldwide, and his results are published worldwide because he does it as a professor in a university. That's fundamental science. Now, when organizations perform research, which is called applied research for a specific purpose, then, of course, they pay for it themselves, and it's their choice for which purpose they are investing in this research. And then it's their commercial decision at which point they release their new developments, their new findings. And it's entirely up to them because that's why it's called applied research. So it doesn't quite work the way you're asking it, because also then the progress, the technological progress, it's made by engineers, not by the scientists, because scientists deliver the results, which then make the analytical basis for further development of infrastructures and equipment, and you say name it. So what we were discussing last year in the conference are the findings, the top findings in terms of microbiological research, artificial gravity research, what happens in the lack of gravity research with the top scientists who do fundamental science. So in a sense, I'm sure that most people on Earth absolutely have no idea about it. But it's not because it's hidden, but because the level of niche outreach which these scientists give, it's so specific, it's so topical, it's so focused that unless you're specifically paying attention to this area of life, you would not be knowing this, simply because it's not popular science, the biggest meaning of the word.
Well, that's fair. There's a lot of applied science, and I'm using the same words that you are. There's a lot of applied science that is out there that yeah. people don't know about, right? Because industries are creating it. Okay. Have you seen a lot of Correct. That come forward in your conferences? Or are you still dealing mostly with public scientists, public universities?
Well, again, it also doesn't quite work that way, because the publicly available results, of course, it's what professors and scientists share. When it comes to applied science, when an organization chooses to put forward their product, then they come and make presentations, but they are not limited specifically to our conference or to anybody else's conference for that matter. It's a decision of organization to publicly declare their current innovation.
Sure. I was just wondering if you have had the opportunity for some of them to come to your conference and to show some of their more advanced products, or are you more staying? I just wanted to know, what kinds of things are you seeing? Are they coming forward too? Are they excited about it too? Or are you not seeing that yet in industry?
We sure see a lot of response in terms of who visited the conference. To be honest, I'm not equipped to give you meaningful answers with names of scientists and with the titles of their work. If that's something you want to explore further, that would be wonderful. And then we will need to arrange your interview with Professor Wouts. He is also a public speaker,
okay.
very much sought after. So to expand on that subject, it would be better for you, first of all, because you get a significantly better content than by talking to me in general terms.
Well, that'd be great, but a separate one. Now that I know that, I apologize. I will talk to him. I have scientists that I work with who've worked at NASA, who work on some of the most advanced things, who I have talked to and I regularly talk to. And so I just naturally will dive into that area. But that's not fair to you if that's not what you really want to talk about, or you're not equipped to talk about it. So let's talk about the what the goal of Asgardia is from a big picture standpoint. I know we've been talking about it, you know, you probably already summarized it and I'm asking you to do it again, but I want to know what your overall goal is. Would you like to have a quarter of the world participating in Asgardia? And do you have certain types of citizens you're trying to get to, or what is your goal with what you're trying to accomplish?
Okay, so I'll try to summarize so all the core items are mentioned in one reasonably brief statement. So the technical vision of Asgardia is achieving birth of the first human child in space. Political vision of Asgardia is being recognized by United Nations as a member state of United Nations, and this being the first space nation on Earth. Now, when it comes to practical goals, we are aiming to include 2% of the world population. So there should be 150 million Asgardians. And once this happens, that's it. You can no longer join Asgardia. You can only become Asgardian by birth to Asgardian parents, or if naturally population declines, then there will be opportunities to join. The idea is that Asgardia has a fully functional economy. It's defined in the constitution that there is currency called Solar. And then within the scope of developing economical system of Asgardia, Solar is traded to the other currencies on Earth. And at the moment, the exchange rate is fixed as one Solar to one Euro. So when people come and join Asgardia, they also are invited to bring in businesses to Asgardia to make proposals by which they can interact with the other Asgardian by exchanging Solars. And for example, we at the moment are discussing already with some people who propose some businesses how they can also make, for example, a system of tendering out to other Asgardians. If somebody wants to do something which requires purchasing supplies, they will only purchase it from Asgardians to stimulate Asgardian economy. And this way, more Solars will be circulating. So the goal is population and viable economy.
Wow. Okay. Well, who backs your, it's not called a dollar. I always call things a dollar, but who backs your currency?
Well, at the moment, again, in terms of hard backing, we have inflow of money through residence fees. And the only hard backing is equivalent to what people have paid to be with Asgardia. In terms of current operation, it is funded by Dr. Ashurbeli privately. So it's his creation, it's his child in a way, Asgardia, and he's committed to bring this child through infancy so it's, the child is stable and can walk and eventually run on its own. But so far, all what you can call so-called corporate expenses, they're funded by Dr. Ashurbeli, the founder and the head of Nation.
And if people wanted to become a citizen, if you sign up but you don't pay, do you have, or you sign up and you pay, is there a preference? I mean, because you're going to cut it off at 125 million. So if somebody decides to, they want to sign up, but they haven't become a citizen quite yet, do they get preference? Or if they don't sign up, I mean, how does that work? You know, I mean, because you're going to cut it off at 150, I'm sorry, go ahead.
150 million? Yeah, it's 2% of the world population, assuming world population is 7 billion at the moment. So at the moment, everybody is free to sign. And once you signed, unless you explicitly ask that you are leaving, you remain signed, of course. Then to maintain your resident status, which then gives you the right also to be involved in Asgardia on all levels, you pay your annual fee, and we will be implementing it as monthly subscriptions, so it's really a very low payment level. And then once the citizenship becoming available, all those who are residents automatically have a chance to become citizens.
What happens if you sign up and you don't pay?
You remain as guardian, but you lose rights as you don't gain rights as a resident if you don't pay, or if you stop paying, you lose rights as a resident. So you cannot be elected for parliament, you cannot be a local official representative, you cannot apply for jobs, because like at the moment we will be hiring minister on the 1st of July, we are starting by-elections to parliament. We have 95 members now, and we need 150 members. Asgardian parliament, it's defined in Asgardia constitution. It's a unilateral body which consists of 150 people. And we are short of people now. So to apply for parliament, you have to meet certain criteria, but one of them, you need to be a resident. The same, we have government defined by constitution. At the moment, the positions are vacant. So also on the 1st of July, we are announcing that we hire, recruit ministers and prime ministers. So those people have to be residents. Of course, once the citizenship status is active, you have to be a citizen. Now we do residence in lieu of being a citizen.
Interesting. This is just fascinating. So can people go to your website and learn about your constitution, learn what it means to be a citizen and a resident, and just sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. So you go to asgardia.space and you register. In the top right corner, there is a login button. You press it. So if you are not registered, it takes you to registration page. And once you register, you get your profile. And inside your profile, you also have a chance to support the constitution, because of course, if you want to be fully involved, you should be intelligently involved. You should first familiarize yourself what it is you are getting yourself into. So constitution can be downloaded on our website in 12 languages. The way also we define our communities is not in any way geographic. We just ask people, what is their language? So our communities, sub-communities are defined by languages. So the 12 languages of Asgardia are the languages which people selected themselves as they were registering. And so you can read your constitution in one of these languages. And of course, it gives plenty of information. The constitution was put together by a team of lawyers from several countries. And these are lawyers who specialize in international law, in space law, in constitutional law. It's all very serious. For example, one of the people who is one of the masterminds is Professor Ram Jahu from McGill University Law, Aerospace Law School. He's also one of the great people to talk to if you want to go further into deeply discussing the legal aspects of what does it mean to be a nation and to be a space nation and how it all fits into the modern world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can connect you. He's a great...
I would love to talk about him.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So we will connect you to Floris Valls. We'll connect you to Ram Jahu. And those will be very, very interesting talks, specializing in science and specializing in space law. And these people, Ram Jahu is one of the leads, were developing the constitution, and then there were Spanish, German, and Russian and Canadian scientists, legal scientists and practicing lawyers who contributed to developing the constitution. So yes, if you are interested to become an Asgardian, please go to asgardia.space, click in the top right corner login. If you're not yet registered, it will take you to the page where you register yourself. You fill in your profile, you receive your certificate. Your certificate will contain a very, very long number, and the section in the middle between two hyphens will have the number which shows the sequential number of your registration in Asgardia. And keep this secret, because we're building an economical system where this number will also be eventually your bank card number. So while you share all the excitement by publishing your certificate, remember to blank out at least pieces of that number in that certificate, because eventually it will be your bank card number.
Oh, very interesting. Is there anything I'm missing that I should be asking you? Because I know you do a lot of interviews, and if there's something really fascinating that I should have asked you or you should be sharing, please say it now. What am I missing?
I have some anecdotal things which I find adorable. I don't know how appropriate or relevant this is for your program. I'm not familiar with your
go for it.
Kind of scope.
Just go for it. I'd like to hear something interesting that you think is interesting.
My favorite story, just anecdotal story, because when we first started, there was a lot of debate on Facebook. And of course, people come up with all sorts of things. And one person who came in was a Trekkie, and he has an official role in Star Trek organization, and he's high-ranking officer in Star Trek organization. And he was trying to have serious debate, wanting people to recognize also Star Trek as a reality. And people, you know how people are on social media. So it was not, eventually it became not a very polite conversation. So the gentleman was upset, and he was writing official complaints to administration of Asgardia. So, and of course, we take all the people who want to be with Asgardia seriously, and we do our best to accommodate their passions. So I feel extremely proud of myself, because I managed to convince him that Asgardia and Earth are pre-warp drive civilizations. So by insisting that everybody recognizes Star Trek as a real confederation, he's violating Prime Directive.
Did he go with that?
Absolutely. From then on, we greet each other with live long and prosper. And I'm extremely proud of myself that all these years I was forced to watch Star Trek, because my husband loves it. It paid off, because myself, okay, I know it. I'm inspired by the vision, how far we've gone compared to what they could imagine decades ago. I'm really, really impressed with the vision of the creators. But I know it because my husband is a fan. So Asgardia and Earth so far up for drive civilization.
Oh my gosh. I guess I'm not I didn't even know there was a Star Trek entity, or are they trying to get recognition as be recognized as a nation as well, or now is he backing off because of the whole warp drive deal?
No. They are just a big fan organization, because one of the things this gentleman also was telling in his Facebook arguments, that I advise you against making enemies out of science fiction community. So my first argument to him was that I can't possibly believe that you, as a high-ranking Starfleet officer, refer yourself to Star Trek as science fiction. That was how I first killed the conversation.
Okay, I got to stay very respectful, so I won't make my opinions on some of that. My gosh. Okay. Well, this is very, very interesting. And again, what is your website that people can go to?
It's asgardia.space.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I look really forward to talking to the other members of your nation.
So basically, if you're looking to make a 360 degrees, I suggest we arrange three more interviews. So one is Professor Wout, so you can know everything about science. One is Professor Ram Jahu, you can know everything about law. And the other is Lambert Opik, so you know everything about nation building and governance.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
And they're all speakers. And thank you so much for your interest. I have only one question to you. Are you registered as an Asgardian?
Well, I'm going to go check it out, and I'm going to have my family check it out. I think it's really fascinating. So I'm really fascinated. When I first saw this, I've been fascinated since, and I've been trying to reach out to you to figure out what is this Asgardia stuff. This is cool. So I thank you for taking the interview, and I really look forward to talking to you more and, you know, learning more about this. And I just really appreciate it.
With pleasure. I don't know how old you are. You have to be 40 to run for parliament. But if you are, you're welcome to run for parliament. It would be a major, major asset to Asgardia.
Well, I'm 49, so I'm old enough. let me look into it.
Please do. It will be wonderful. Of course, it's also understood that some people can't afford the time, but they're generally involved, and they once in a while just show up, and that's already great. It's important that people like yourself, who are professionals in their domain, and they love the idea, take it along. The idea is not to make people spend time on this. The idea is that people who appreciate it take it into their life, and that's the way it goes further.
Yeah, well, just absolutely fascinating. So
think about it.
Yeah, I will think about it, actually. I appreciate you asking me, and I'll think about that. And I want to look, I'm going on vacation next week, so I'll have a little bit of time, and we can look it over. It'll be fun.
And you know how to see the ISS from Earth?
No.
If you are so much into space.
Oh, the International Space Station. Yes, yes, yes.
The website heavens-above.com. So heavens-above.com.
Okay.
And there you look at the flying object. It's not only the ISS, there are also satellites. And then you choose your geographical location. So if you happen to be at a location where ISS flies over in the dark time of a day, you can see it, and it looks like a star which flies through the sky.
You know, that happened to me about 5 years ago. One of our friends mentioned that the space station is coming over at like, it was actually during the day, it was like 5:20 p.m. or something. And so we all sat there and waited, and we saw this little thing go through the sky. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's an excellent thing to do on vacation, especially in this lovely weather when you can lay on the beach and stare in the sky and see a station flying by. It's fascinating.
Well, thank you again. And I will send you guys a link when this goes live.
Excellent. Thank you very much.